How are you all this morning? Good. A lot of families, it seems, are on vacation this week. It's very popular. I imagine they're going to be gone next weekend, too, but hopefully we'll have enough folks for the 4th of July parade. I know I'll be on the tractor. I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm a little overweight. I know, it's pretty amazing. You look at me and you say, well, that man must have a six-pack. He must work out every day. He certainly doesn't stop by McDonald's several days a week. Don't tell my wife. He is the just pinnacle of fitness. I'm sure that's why I injured my Achilles tendon during softball on Wednesday. No, it's true, I am out of shape. I packed on a bit too many pounds. I was reminded of this recently when I went to go buy shorts. Now you see, I'm sure it's true for women's sizes as well, but for men's sizes in waists, there really is an upper limit to what you'll usually find at the store. And that's about a 44 waist, which is what I wear. And so you'll go, and of course there'll be plenty of things in the 36s, 38s, maybe even a good selection. 40-some men are laughing because they know what I'm talking about. And you get into 42s, whoa, it's pretty slim. And then there's probably just one little 44 on that rack in TJ Maxx. And you just better hope it's not, you know, plaid and whatever loud color it is that you don't want. In fact, when I find something that's in my size that I like a lot, it's almost as if it's a miracle. And I think about this because, you see, if I get any fatter, then I'll be up to a 46. And then I won't be able to find clothes anymore, at least not at a regular store. I have to go to those wonderful big and tall establishments, and not because I'm all that tall. So why do I do this to myself? I mean, there's tons of diets out there. There's Atkins, you know, you can get rid of all the starches. There's Dexatrim, Nutrisystem. There's Weight Watchers. You can eat Special K every morning. There is all sorts of remedies that the diet industry is all too willing to sell me. They would be rather happy to take my money, as they do billions of dollars every year. We as a society always want that quick fix. We always want that thing that's just going to come in and take care of whatever problem it is that we're having. In fact, if it could come in the form of a pill, that would be even better. And so it usually does. Now, when I was in college, I was in a little bit better shape than I am now. I was in a lot better shape than I am now. I had a 38 waist back in college. And, you know, I used to joke with friends. We'd joke about people losing weight, about being subject to all these various diets that are out there. And I said, you know, I'm going to make a lot of money because I am going to come up with my own diet book. And it's going to be called the Brian Eastman Fat, three-letter word I can't say in church, it begins with an A, diet. And it's going to be really simple. You're going to open up to the first page. Rule number one, get off your fat, three-letter word. And then you flip over, second page. Stop eating like a fat, three-letter word. And that's it. That's the end right there. That's a pretty simple diet. You see, it's what doctors have always told us. It's diet and exercise. You just exercise more and stop eating as much, and it's a miracle you'll actually lose weight. And that has worked for me on occasion. Thank God I managed to lose weight before I met Amelia, and I was a little bit more attractive than I am now. Of course, now that I've suckered her into marriage, I can let myself go. But in all seriousness, you know, my father died at the age of 54 from a heart attack. And, you know, I'm sort of following in his footsteps. And if I want to live long enough to see perhaps future children graduate from college, see them get married like my father wasn't able to see for me, then I really need to think about what it is I'm doing. I really need to strive to make my life better. So why is it that we don't do this? You see, this is just one example I have, and I can talk about it and joke about it, but it's serious. But there's plenty of others. There's drug or alcohol addiction. There's other bad behaviors that don't really help us in our lives. There's relationships that we have that are out of whack with our parents, with our siblings, with our children, and yet we don't correct them. Why is it? It would be nice if you had pills for that. I haven't gotten along with my parent in 20 years. Is there a pill for that, doctor? I haven't spoken to my brother since we were kids. Is there a pill for that? I can't put the bottle down. Is there a pill for that, doctor? Now, the last one they are trying to make a pill for, but I don't see it being successful anytime soon, especially knowing what many addicts go through. No, there are simple solutions for all of those, but they're not so simple. You see, they require work. They require faith. They require a conviction to do what needs to be done. Our first scripture reading is from 2 Kings. It talks about Elijah. Elijah was an immense prophet. He is, perhaps, next to Moses, the most important prophet in the Old Testament. In fact, it was believed that Elijah would return and mark the coming of the Messiah, of Jesus Christ, and therefore people thought John the Baptist was the return of Elijah. And this important man had a companion, an adopted son, Elisha, S-H-A, not J-A-H on the end. And he was faithful. He followed Elijah everywhere he went. And when Elijah had to go one place or go another, he said, you know, I have to go here. You don't have to come with me. And Elijah over and over and over again said, no, that is what I need to do by my loyalty, by my faith to our Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. People, prophets told him along the way, said, you know, God is going to take Elijah away. You know, maybe you don't want to witness that. And Elijah said, no, I will follow Elijah everywhere that he goes by my faith in the Lord. And at the very end, Elijah asks Elijah, what do you want? What do you want from me? And Elijah says, I want a double portion of your power. Now, the double portion, that talks to the inheritance of the first son. And instead of wanting an inheritance having to do with money or land, he wanted an inheritance of the power that Elijah had, the power of God, the power to do God's will. And so Elijah said to him, if you stick with me to the very end, if you see me being taken away finally, then you'll have it. And so a great chariot of fire came down, a great whirlwind came down and took Elijah up into the air. And Elijah, the faithful servant, was there till the very end, witnessing the awesome power of God. And he got that power of Elijah. Now, it's an amazing story. And it's about an important prophet, but I think that it has a lot of bearing on our life. You see, the goal that we want, may it be the power of the Lord in Elijah's case, or for me to lose a little weight, or whatever it is that we want in our lives, it is there. It is possible. God can help us, but we have to be diligent. We can't just take a pill. I mean, what if Elijah had said, you know, it's kind of difficult following you around all over the place, Elijah. I mean, you do all this stuff, travel here and there. Could I just take a pill and maybe get double portion of your power later on? No, it takes a faithfulness to what you know is right, to diet and exercise. But further than that, it takes an examination of why we are in that place to begin with. What is it that we're really dealing with? Because often these things in our lives, be it relationships that aren't healthy or bodies that aren't healthy, are really just symptoms of something deeper. Symptoms of a dysfunction, symptoms of a yearning for perhaps a love that you missed out on, and you look for it in a Big Mac instead of in your partner like you should. And that comes to our reading from Galatians. Paul talks about the fruits of the Spirit. You see, something that's important to understand about Paul's writings, about his theology, is that Paul thought that the law was impossible to keep. The law being the original covenant between the Jews and God. That we really were never going to be able to keep our side of the bargain. We would be forever failing. And that is why the presence of Christ is so important. Because through Christ we have a new covenant with God. We can have faith in Christ. And that faith replaces the law. But you see, it doesn't just stop at having faith. I don't know if you've seen a lot of Bibles. Sometimes, especially the ones by the Gideons, they'll have a section in the back that says, "I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior on this date." And you sign it and you date it. Now, I joked once in a church that I had a really great way to reduce the budget. You see, we just bought however many of those Bibles were required for all the members. We would have all the members sign on the back, and then we could all go home, and we wouldn't need to meet anymore because we would all be saved. We wrote it in the back of the book, and that's all we need, right? Get rid of the pastor, get rid of the church, get rid of the congregation. Sounds ridiculous, of course, but if that's all you're interested in, if you think that just having faith in Christ alone, just signing the back of the book is all you need to do, then you're really missing out. And Paul takes a point to make sure you understand that. Paul says, this is not just a get-out-of-jail-free card. This is not a, you accept Jesus Christ and everything's done with. You don't have to do anything else after that. You don't have to try to improve your life. It's not a Jesus Christ pill that you take, where all of a sudden you've done it and you're done and you can go do whatever you want. You can go engage in whatever activity that you want that's really destructive, that really doesn't help you,